Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Ed Alexander. Ed and I welcome you to the show. It is Thursday, the second day of April 2015. Hope you are having a good day. We're coming to you live from AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice. We live stream the show, so anywhere you're near a computer, you'll be able to stream the show on my website, buckmastershow.com or kvoi.com. Also, on my site, we've got all the podcasts and really the complete show archive available for you 24/7 anywhere in the world. We begin with a newsmaker interview. Tucson City Councilwoman Shirley Scott will get things rolling about 12:30 today. We'll talk about autism. And then we'll close out the show with the Buckmaster Legal Advisor, Attorney Don Luce. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is open for you. Call in and be heard at 790-2040. And if you would like to join us on Facebook, new members are welcome. You can find us at Bill Buckmaster. Let's go now to City Councilwoman Shirley Scott with us on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. Councilwoman Scott, how are you?
Very well, thank you, on this blustery day.
Yeah,
it
you know,
windy.
I do not like it when the winds blow and it just kicks up my allergies.
Absolutely. There are a lot of people sneezing these days, I think.
But I will tell you, the look of the Palo Verde trees right now, very, very, very beautiful.
Oh, absolutely magnificent. Beautiful yellow all over the place.
Well, folks have probably heard about the huge drought over in California. My goodness. It's really of historic proportions. Luckily, we had some pretty good rain here. So we're not really below average for the year. But I noticed that the water rates, Water Advisory Committee has recommended, along with Tucson Water, the Advisory Committee is part of the Tucson Water umbrella, a 7.3% rate hike. Councilwoman, why the rate hike, while I understand usage has actually been dropping over the years?
Well, that's the interesting thing that doesn't make sense on the one hand. The good thing is people are conserving water, which is a wonderful thing and should continue to do so. But when you use less water, it doesn't change the cost of the delivery to you of that water. You still have to pay for the meters, the wells, the water mains, the reclaim facilities, boosters, valves, hydrants. Those costs are fixed. So even though the commodity, water, is being used less, that which brings the water to you still costs money, and we have to pay for that. And I haven't heard that any of those costs are going down. But instead of an 8.3, it is suggested a 7.3 would be a better slight increase in a bill. So I think that's what really happens. The same thing happens when you drive your car. If it's fuel efficient, you still have to fill it up, and we still have to collect the taxes on it, even though you are being very good about fuel efficiency and fewer trips and all the rest. It still costs money to maintain those things that help you maintain your car.
And
so it's a vicious cycle.
And people can sound off on this. There'll be a couple of, I think there's three town hall meetings that are planned in the coming weeks. People can find out about those meetings by going to Tucson Water, to their website.
Right.
Let's talk about annexation. There are a couple of annexations in the works. One of them is in your ward, I believe, the UA,
yes.
UA Science and Technology Park. Now, the west side of that park is already now part of the city, and this would bring the whole park into the city, correct?
Absolutely. And that's exactly what the purpose is to bring the entire site into the city limits of Tucson.
Then Bruce Wright and his colleagues at the park apparently are all in favor of this.
Yes, you know, it always takes a lot of negotiations on the part of the all parties involved to come to an agreement as to the final annexation agreements, and I'm hopeful that those will proceed in a very positive manner as they have to date. And we would love to have all of them within the city limits of Tucson, because They will get better. They will get good services from the City of Tucson Police Department, the Fire Department, and other departments with which they work.
Now, the other annexation that is in the works is the north side of the Auto Mall, and there was an effort to get the Auto Mall into the city before, but one of the clients out there, I believe it was Hughes Federal Credit Union, didn't want to go along with it. So how does that stand right now?
Well, I believe they're going to redraw the map and exclude the Hughes Bank, Hughes Federal Credit Union, that is, from the annexation map and only include the other parcels. So the city is redoing all of that and renewing their efforts to bring that entity into the city limits of Tucson. The cost of fire service, for example, for those properties would be cut in half. And city property tax for all services is less than the area fire district charges. So they have something, the bottom line, to consider when they consider signing on to actually come into the city of Tucson. And, of course, we are very eager to have them there for lots of good reasons.
What did you think of the Charter Review Committee's recommendation, which is kind of weird? It was deadlocked at 7 and 7, and there were 15 people on there, but I guess somebody didn't show up to vote that day, right?
Well, they deadlocked on one of the issues, but there are so many issues that are in the charter that need to be reviewed. That charter was written in 1929, and as a charter city, we are guided by that and by law. And so changing things like terminology. Terminology has changed. For example, they talk about a council man. They talk about certain people who run the transportation department or the water department as having a shall we say, an antiquated title. And so they want to change the wording on some of those things, which is pretty nice. So it used to be the superintendent of water, and now they'd like to just say water director. Those kinds of changes are in there. But there are some other changes, such as giving the mayor parity. Right now, the council, not the mayor, can actually hire the city attorney, the city clerk, and city manager. Yeah. So the mayor doesn't have a vote in that, actually. If this were to change, it would allow him to have a voice in that sort of thing. So I think there's a great deal to be thought of with regard to that. There are several things in the charter that talk about gender and titles and job descriptions that need to be updated. Are some other things in there that need to be addressed. We are restricted, for example, as to how much we should or should not charge on a property. And so right now the city of Tucson can charge $1.75 secondary property tax when combined with primary. Now, the state allows for the city to charge $1, not $1.75. And so I think it's important for people to really look at that and say, if we were to take away that 75 cents and just have a dollar on the secondary property tax, then the city would have the ability to have its own bond election at some future date and be able to bond up to $600 million. Right now, the city is dependent on the county for holding bond elections and putting issues before the people to vote on. If we were able to have our own in the city of Tucson, this would give us a methodology available to catch up on unmet needs that are certainly, there's a long list of those.
All right. Carl has been waiting very patiently to speak with Councilwoman Shirley Scott. Go ahead, Carl. You're on the air.
Yes. As far as bringing in the Auto Mall area, all of a sudden, isn't the city going to wind up charging taxes on the vehicles they sell, which is going to raise the price astronomically since cars now are running $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $70,000. And the dealers are simply going to pass that right along to, and handling the tax, are simply going to pass that right along to the people buying the cars. So it seems to me that as soon as that happens, you're going to see dealers popping up out there at Tangerine and I-10 and out at Marana so that they can advertise that we don't charge the city sales tax, and they're going to sell things cheaper. So I'll go off air and let you respond to that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Carl.
Thank you. The city sales tax is very minimal compared to what the state sales tax is, and I'm not sure that on a $30,000, $40,000 car or higher, that that would actually be, I can't imagine using the word astronomical increase in the cost to the customer. From the dealer's point of view, as I've said, they get a break on the benefits of getting better service from police and fire at a better rate. So from their point of view, they are getting a better deal. But I'm not sure I would agree with the term that 2% is going to be an astronomical change in the price of a new vehicle. So I just leave it at that.
Okay. 12:15 on the Buckmaster Show. Councilwoman Scott will stick around for another break. So if you'd like to join us, 790-2040, 790-2040. We'll be right back.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Are you happy with the news you get? Well, not all news is good news. You know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Hi, wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Coming up now on 1220, you're listening to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster, and Shirley Scott, Tucson City Councilwoman, is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Also on the live line, our friend Jim Kelly would like to ask Councilwoman Scott a question. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, good afternoon, Shirley. How are you today?
Very well. How are you, Jim?
I'm well. Shirley, why do you and the City Council fear ward-only elections in the general election and not recommended as part of charter change?
I don't fear it. I just don't know that it will change the venue very much. Now, in the past, as you know, some council members have not won their wards but have won citywide and have served very well, and it's happened to people in both parties. So it's not a question of whether or not it favors one party or the other. I don't know that the final recommendation is for that. I think the Citizens Charter Review Committee basically was saying that they were deadlocked on some of these kinds of issues and wanted, rather than that be put on the ballot this time around, that there be an additional Citizens Advisory Committee to be established to review all the pros and cons of that very topic. So even in the community where you have citizens who seriously want to make some serious changes, they're deadlocked, and so we'd like to have a rather frank and open discussion that is more in-depth and longer in tenure to address this very issue. So it's not a question of whether I like it or not. It's a question of coming to consensus and then bringing it forward.
Okay, Jim, did you want to follow up on that?
I did. When a citizens committee or any body is deadlocked, usually a leader steps in and breaks the deadlock. And that's kind of what I'm asking for the city of Tucson to do. I'm asking the city council to take some leadership and break the deadlock and go on the record.
So you're saying we should take 50% of the people and make them happy as clams and make the other 50% unhappy. This is not a good thing. I mean, I understand on a vote that's very serious in front of the council, that does happen with the mayor. But I think we ought to allow for more discussion on this. I think it's only fair, since there is division, and it's pretty serious division, actually, from those who represent the charter committee. So I just would, I mean, are you afraid of further discussion?
Oh, I just want the city council to take some leadership. That deadlock was based on shenanigans and people not showing up, and we know that. So I just think the leadership should be leaders
okay. And
break that deadlock and go on the record.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate your point of view.
All right. Thank you, Jim. And moving on to the issue that you, I'm sure, get questions about every day. When in the world are we going to fix our roads? Is that correct?
Well, the citizens of this community voted for a proposition, I think it was 409, that allowed for the city to have $100 million over 5 years, $20 million each year, to address that very issue. And as you know, you can see and when that was put forward, by the way, there were specific streets and roads that were identified. Now, if you look at that particular road map of those things that were to be improved, you'll find that that is being addressed. Now, as it happens, there were some dollars left over from the first round of the $20 million in order to have some access to maybe some other roads that could be addressed. And the city council heard that there was more money available due to the cost of doing the roads that had been done, having a cost under fund or excess money left over. So the council said, well, let's talk about maybe getting some residential streets done, if that's possible, because it is within the bailiwick of the overall view of what should be done with this money. So we said maybe we should have you address the issues of residential streets, but still, you must stay very true to what the public voted for. And as you know, there are many roads right now very significantly being improved, including Grant Road, which I imagine we'll get calls about the inconvenience of the widening project on Grant Road with that heavy-duty machinery that they have, which grinds up as it goes, and then they add new asphalt to it, and then it puts it down right away. I mean, if we could afford to do that everywhere, that would be a very good thing, but it would be a slow and tedious process to get to every single street. But progress is being made. We are getting there, and we can't do it when it's raining and it's got flooding going on. So weather with good weather cooperating, the city will continue to go forward with those roads that were identified as critically needed, and I believe you'll see there are a lot of roads that will have been paved already.
Shirley Scott with us on the Buckmaster Show. I've got about five more minutes with you. How does the financial picture look as you go into the budget hearings coming up very soon? Because, of course, the city operates on a fiscal year. So, and what about the state budget? Did that, I know the county's been grumbling about additional costs to the county. How about to the city?
Absolutely. You know, there are three actual revenue-generating things that happen within the city and the county. You have state-shared revenues that are generated here. You have HERF money, and you even have some money going that comes supposed to come back from the lottery. When people play the lottery, there are certain monies available for transportation, for example. And those monies are generated here. We are required by law to send them up to the state. And then the state then reapportions that money that was generated here based on a formula that they determined would be fair. So that's one thing. The second thing is they, in the past, the state legislature, has cut back on the amount of money even from the formula that they created. And so we are, whereas we might be expecting back, say, $6 million, sometimes they will take a chunk of that and cut it back such that those who do the planning and the overall planning of the budget in for the city of Tucson are then under the gun to figure out what to do if there is, say, $1 million short, and it's usually more than that. So we have that problem with the budget. The second thing is lately there was an Arizona State Supreme Court that repealed portions of a Senate bill that it was pension reform, and this was the Fields decision, and it changed the actuarial table so that those people who worked for a long period of time had pensions coming from for the police and fire people, that they changed those allocations to increase what they should have been getting that we were not aware until this case was settled or determined. And so between police and fire, there's an additional amount of about $17 million, round numbers, that we need to come up with out of the budget proceeds that we have that wasn't there before. So we have to be very careful to watch what the state legislature does with our state shared revenues, HERF funding, and the lottery monies, which we were hoping to get back in full. And then we have to adjust for this $17 million that was not accounted for in the original budgeting. We're allowed to have a three-year phase-in of that total amount, and so that will be approximately $3 to $5 million a year for the next 3 years. Mm-hmm. And then we still have to continue to give the amount of money that they said should have been going into that fund and continue to address that particular issue. So those two factors will change what was projected in the budget. Now, the budget and finance people in the city of Tucson have done such an amazing job with the amount of money they get. They are usually able to pinpoint down to 1% of variation. Now, with the kinds of monies that come into the city of Tucson, to be that close with their projections as to what to be expected can be available, is amazing, and we are very proud of that. But these new, shall we say, debts that have come suddenly or unexpectedly or not at the point where we could afford it, this will make a big difference in our budget deliberations and our priorities. For me, police and fire are top priorities. I think people really do want someone to answer the 911 call,
yeah,
whatever it is.
I would say so.
If nothing else.
Yeah.
And I'm very strong on that. I think there are some other entities, some other departments in the city of Tucson that have a wish list for more money to go into their department, and I certainly am sympathetic to that.
Okay.
Because that's important as well. But when it comes down to police and fire and those obligations, for example, I think that's a top priority for any city to consider being good. We really do have to have the top-rated police and fire departments, and I'm all for that.
All right.
And so I think that that's going to affect our budget deliberations, and we'll have to weigh very carefully any new demands from any other departments that say we need more money, too.
All right. Shirley Scott, thank you for spending part of your lunch hour with us. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. It's always nice to talk with you.
Thank you. Shirley Scott with us on the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. I have before me the full list of things to do, and it is unbelievable what's going on over there. The Continental Divide Trail Fest, the National Scenic Trails annual kickoff event, is now going to be underway there in April. Tour of the Gila, the big bicycle race, April 29th through May 3rd, the big blues festival, 20th annual. Taj Mahal will be headlining that event over in Silver City, just 3 hours east of Tucson to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. You can find out all about the many things to do and places to stay, like Bear Mountain Lodge, by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. We'll be right back.
Welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Water, our most precious resource. Without it, living here in Tucson and the rest of the desert Southwest would not be possible. Where does our water come from? How can we use it more sustainably? At the University of Arizona Biosphere 2, we study the interplay of rain, climate, and landscape. Dive into the ways we use water this April for Earth Month activities at Biosphere 2 and find us online at biosphere2.org.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garber on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. It's 12:35 on this Thursday afternoon. My name is Bill Buckmaster. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're going to be talking in our next segment about autism. The 9th annual Piece the Puzzle Autism Walk, Run, and Resource Fair is coming up on Saturday, April 11th at the Keno Sports Complex. Nicole Glassner is with us. Nicole is Executive Director of the Autism Society of Southern Arizona. Pete Schwartz is also here. He is the Board President of the Autism Society of Southern Arizona. Nicole and Pete, how are you today?
Really good. Thank you for having us. We're so excited to be here.
I'm doing great.
Pete, we hear a lot about autism. It's very common. Someone will say, well, my child is autistic. What is autism, and how prevalent is it in our society?
Well, autism is a complex developmental disorder, and it's characterized by three general characteristics: delay in communication, delay in socialization, and stereotypical or repetitive behavior, things like rocking, toe walking, hand flapping, things like that. And the prevalence, the CDC in 2014 came out with their new numbers on prevalence, and now it's diagnosed at 1 in 68 births in the U.S. and 1 in 64 in Arizona. So it's an incredible increase from prior years.
Yeah, just 15 years ago, autism was diagnosed at only 1 in 150 births. So something's going on here, and what are the researchers saying? I mean, why are we seeing more cases of autism, Pete?
Well, this is actually one of the areas about autism that most experts agree on, that it's a combination of two things, a genetic predisposition and then some environmental trigger that activates it. Unfortunately, we're not at the point where we know what those environmental trigger or triggers are. Experts are also united in the fact that autism it generally is brought on by multiple things, so there are different subtypes of autism as well, which is one of the reasons why you get this this large diversity in autistic characteristics, and which is why we refer to it as a spectrum disorder.
Well, it's nice that there is the Autism Society of Southern Arizona, Nicole Glassner, that can provide support for parents like Pete.
Sure. We have a lot of programs that we have right now. There's everything from sensory-friendly films, which is something that we provide tickets for families with kids on the spectrum. Lights are up, sound is down, and they can go in and enjoy a very inclusive environment. We've also launched a lot of different advocacy options, education programs. We're starting some even adults on the spectrum programs, which is a new area for a lot of places in Tucson.
Yeah, we're in the midst of significant growth. There are many new programs that we're launching right now. We recognized a while back that with the increase in prevalence of autism, our former model wasn't really working, and we understood that we had to grow and expand. So we brought on an organization down in Santa Cruz County and became the Autism Society of Southern Arizona. We have a lot of work to do, though.
Is it frustrating for parents who have an autistic child, especially after the child is diagnosed? They really don't have a lot of places perhaps to turn for advice, right?
Yeah, and that's one of the things that the Autism Society of Southern Arizona does, is we provide information referral. Many times we are the first call when parents find out their child was diagnosed with autism.
Sure. We have a great lending library with over 1,000 books. We have a Google group where parents can talk with each other about particular topics. You know, how did you go about finding out this resource? Where can we go next? We just brought on a professional counsel, which is great. That gives even our office an opportunity to say, I have the best person for you to call next. But it's a process that everyone needs to work through.
You said that you're teaching individuals on the autism spectrum. When you say autism spectrum, what do you mean by that, Nicole?
Well, I think Pete touched on it a little bit earlier, is that it really does range. We do have high-functioning kiddos who are still very verbal, still very
high intelligence.
Yeah. And then we have ones that aren't verbal,
so that's
where the name
real
spectrum comes from.
Dramatic difference, I guess, from each autism case to the other one, right?
There is. It's,
correct.
It's incredible. Yeah,
I don't think there's a single one that's the same.
That's very weird.
The long-term outcome is significantly different as well. And there's an expression in the autism community. If you know one individual with autism, you know one individual with autism. and that comes up because many people say, well, I know, a child down the street in my neighborhood has autism, so this is what autism looks like, and that's not necessarily the case.
The autism walk that I mentioned at the beginning of the segment is coming up on April 11th.
That's
a
right.
Saturday at Keno Sports Complex. It's going to be a fun event. Last year, Nicole Glassner, 1,500 people attended. You're expecting more this year. This is kind of your big fundraiser, isn't it?
It is our big fundraiser. It's actually the largest autism event in Southern Arizona. We'll have over 52 resource tables, exhibitors who come and do talk about different aspects for these families to go to. How do I get in touch with different advocacy groups? What's the best rate? We even have gluten-free people coming out and giving samples that day. We have great sponsors who are promoting autism advocacy and awareness.
So you have a lot of exhibitors.
Yes.
I think you're hoping for, 50 this year?
We have over 55 signed up. So,
and the great thing to say about the resource fair is it's not exclusive only to autism.
Right.
The exhibitors out there deal with all disabilities. So whether if a family is dealing with Down syndrome or cerebral palsy or really the whole range of disabilities, it's covered out there. So this event is definitely open to all, and we really, really want people to come to this event.
What are the specifics for taking part in the walk, Pete? So it starts where?
Registration begins at 8:30 in the morning. We are at the Keno Memorial, Veterans Memorial Sports Complex. It's a bigger name now.
Mm-hmm.
Go register. You can register online right now. It's $19 to walk per individual. If you go to asaz.org, click the gray banner at the top, it will take you to our First Giving site, and you can sign up and get a T-shirt. After you walk through the door, there is all kinds of fun to be had. We have jumping castles. We have face painters. We have balloon animals. We have trains.
It's
going to be a fun day for everyone. So it's really not just a walk where you go and walk your 2 miles worth of time. You really do get to spend a day with the family. We have great food and just an amazing amount, again, of resources and a chance to connect with our whole community.
That's Nicole Glassner. Nicole is the Executive Director of the Autism Society of Southern Arizona. Pete Schwartz, also with us, the Board President. He is the parent of an autistic child. And Pete, I want to ask you a couple of quick more questions about autism. Does it get better as the children age?
Well, we know that with early intervention services, when children are really young, if there's intensive early intervention, behavioral interventions work very effectively, that children can make significant progress. In general, your autism characteristics will generally stay the same throughout lifetime, unless you do things to work toward trying to help improve it.
Do the children need special education?
It depends for the child. There are some children that are in special education classes only. For the most part, we generally believe that an inclusive learning environment is best for most kids. So generally, that's the way that we advocate for families to move forward for an inclusive environment.
All right, we're going to wrap it up. Pete Schwartz, Board President of the Southern Arizona Autism Society of Southern Arizona, and Nicole Glassner, the Executive Director. Nicole, quickly give us the bottom line nuts and bolts again about what's going to happen on Saturday, April 11th.
Sure. It's, again, April 11th, 8:30 is registration, and any amount of donations can help. Our goal is to raise $80,000, and we just appreciate the community support as much as we can get it.
Thank you very much. Good luck to both of you.
Thank you very much.
All right, we're coming up now on 12:44 on The Buckmaster Show, our Thursday edition. Once a month, we bring in our legal contributor, Attorney Don Luce. Don is in the house. He'll be joining us after we take our next break so we can hear from the fine Buckmaster Show sponsors that make our work possible here in Southern Arizona. Be right back.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up on our Friday Focus interview, we'll talk with Senate President Andy Biggs. The Friday Roundtable features Tim Steller of The Star and Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News. Buckmaster during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice and always on BuckmasterShow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12 minutes before 1 o'clock. Don Luce is with us once a month, Attorney Don Luce of Luce Brown and Hobkirk and Associates, with offices in Tucson, and they have two offices in the Phoenix area as well. Mr. Luce, the Buckmaster Show legal contributor, he's the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers. You don't need to be an attorney for this book. In fact, Don, that's why you wrote the book, right? You didn't really write it for colleagues in your profession.
Right, Bill.
I mean, although they probably would like it, too.
Thank you for having me back.
And before I say anything about the book, I want to tell people about the other book, Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, and about Arizona Laws 101.
Yeah, that was a labor of love, Bill. It was a book that I wrote in 2004. It's for non-lawyers. It's about Arizona law. You don't need a legal degree to understand the principles. And my objective or goal in writing the book was so that the average person would have access to a resource material. If they had a question about a law, they can go to that chapter in the book and hopefully have their question answered. They may not need to go to a lawyer, but if they do, they'll be a better consumer of those legal services.
Well, even the attorneys that probably look through it enjoy it.
Well, I would like to think
I mean,
so.
Have you had any feedback from attorneys?
I have. When I had my book signings, when the book was first published, I had lawyers actually buy it from me. And they said, look, I don't practice in these areas, and this would be a good resource for clients who ask me about these issues.
The state legislature is in a big rush to wrap this thing up before the 3-day Easter weekend. There's talk that this thing's going to go on very late tonight to wrap up the session. It'd be the earliest conclusion to a legislative session since 1965. So there's still some really important business to be taken care of. This real ID thing has to be, I would hope, has to be taken care of, because if it's not, Don Luce, in January, when you go to the airport to fly out of Tucson, you're going to need a passport.
Right. And let's talk about that concept of having a passport. In Arizona, only 42% of our residents have passports, which means that if we don't have access to a real ID driver's license, then more than half of us aren't going to be able to board a commercial flight, because Department of Homeland Security will no longer recognize our driver's licenses as valid forms of identification. And the reason is our driver's licenses don't meet the heightened security requirements that the Department of Homeland Security imposed after the 9/11 attacks. Arizona has chosen for the past decade or so not to produce the form of identification that would be recognized by DHS, but DHS is making it an issue because they say that as of January 1, 2016, if you don't have a form of identification that complies with our real ID requirements, or you don't present a valid passport, we are not going to let you board a commercial flight.
Would you have to have a new driver's license? Everyone would have to go get a new driver's license then?
Yes. Those who wish to use a driver's license as a form of identification before boarding a commercial flight would have to have a new license. It's tentatively going to be called a voluntary travel ID. It's kind of an interesting backstory on this, even, because in Arizona, real ID licenses are banned. After the attacks on 9/11, the federal government said, we are going to institute a federal real ID law, which will essentially make uniform the identification that the states issue. And in 2008, Arizona instituted a ban on national identification cards. So in Arizona, it is illegal for the Department of Motor Vehicle to produce a real ID license. Under the bill that is currently in the House and is going to be sent back to the Senate, the Motor Vehicle Department will be directed to issue what will be called a voluntary travel ID. It'll be optional. We will have two forms of driver's licenses in the state of Arizona, one that will meet the Department of Health of Homeland Security requirements, and the other one that won't, and that's the one that we currently have in our wallets and purses. So it's going to be optional, and it's probably going to cost a little bit extra. There's talk that it might be $15 or more to get the voluntary travel ID card. But if you don't have it, and if you and if you're one of those in the majority that also doesn't have a passport, you're going to have some real issues at the airport.
We have a couple of calls, Don Luce, and I want to take them both. They are about the real ID. Folks are very interested in this. First up is our Sunday talk show host here on KVOI. Charles Heller would like to ask Don a question or has a comment. Go ahead, Charles.
Don, my ID's been non-compliant for a long time, and it's not a big deal at all. TSA has a parameter for it. They have a secondary IDs that they will accept. Among them is a checkbook with your name printed on it and a city water bill or any government bill showing your name and your address. And if you have that and a photo, a government-issued photo, even if it's not, especially if it's non-compliant, going through TSA is an absolute breeze. This is a canard to try and make people demand that the state change the law. The problem is there's a lot of problem with the real ID law. because it makes available to people who should not have your ID the database, especially people in governments that we do not want to have access to our database. That's the problem with Real ID.
Okay. Thank you, Charles.
Yeah, thank you, Charles. And, in fact, the sentiments that you just expressed, Charles, are some of the sentiments that the legislators who are dealing with this issue have also expressed. This originally was Senate Bill 1274. It was sent to the House, and then it just got buried. And in order for this legislation to be revived, Senator Bob Worsley had to work his magic. It is now an amendment to House Bill 2609, which is going to go back to the Senate. It'll eventually in my estimation, be passed, and then it'll be sent to the governor for signature. But to use your word, it's been a real canard.
David would like to comment also on Real ID. You're with Don Luce. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I wanted to make a comment. The reason why Arizona is one of two states that hasn't done this is this whole states' rights issue, that the state that Arizona doesn't want to be told by the federal government what to do, and that's why we have this problem. I want to bring up another problem that relates to our water.
Okay, that's kind of off topic here, David.
Okay, all right. Okay
for another time. But anyway, I mean, it's kind of a states' rights issue that David was talking about.
You know, in 2008, a law was passed that made it illegal in Arizona for MVD to issue real IDs because the thinking was we are not going to be part of a national identification card process. And this is the classic state versus federal conflict that we've seen over and over again in recent years. In my estimation, this is, to your caller's point, yet another example of how the states, in many cases, are refusing to go along with federal mandates or federal schemes, not in a bad way, but just federal programs, because they are striving to maintain their independence. And, you know, we've seen what that looks like this week with the law that was passed in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a very ripe topic for public debate.
What is this bill that bans powdered alcohol?
Well, first of all, I didn't know there was powdered alcohol, but apparently
just add water. Is that what
I guess maybe fruit juice if you want to spice it up.
Yeah.
So by a 32-26 margin, the House voted to ban the use in Arizona of powdered alcohol. There is a push by the manufacturers of these products to make them legal, and the proponents of powdered alcohol say, well, we have the liquid form, so, you know, what really is the difference? Victoria Steele, the Tucson representative, was one of the people who thought it was a bad idea to allow powdered alcohol because her concern was that she thought it would be yet another chance for the children to, you know, be using alcohol, and for that reason...
Kind of a gateway.
I guess, yeah. And for that reason, she was opposed to it, and she got a majority of her colleagues to go along. So in Arizona, at least for now, you cannot use powdered alcohol.
Well, and we're quickly running out of time, but this about using gold and silver coins as legal tenure?
Yeah, that was vetoed by Governor Ducey this week. There was a proposal that would essentially recognize gold and silver coins as legal tender. The thinking was that if they were designated as legal tender, and as I said, this was rejected by the governor, that those people who invest in gold and silver coins and realize an appreciation in their coins wouldn't have to pay tax on the gain because you don't pay tax on legal tender appreciation. Utah and Oklahoma have laws that do recognize gold and silver coins as a legal tender, but in Arizona, we don't, and we're not going to.
All right, Don Luce, attorney at law, The Buckmaster Show, contributor, the author of Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers and estate planning in Arizona. I'm sure you'll be thinking about, this was the second, or is the second edition, there'll probably be a third edition. I don't want to put any pressure on you.
I'm feeling the pressure right now, Bill.
Yeah, there you go. And so it'll be interesting to see if the legislature does indeed wrap up. We're scheduled to have the Senate President, Andy Biggs, depending on how tired he might be. He's supposed to be on the show tomorrow, but if they're up all night, I'm not quite sure whether he's going to make it. But he is still, it's still on his schedule, so we'll have the latest on that situation. Don, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill. My pleasure.
Don Luce with us on the Buckmaster Show. We want to remind folks that if you are looking for an automobile mechanic, and who isn't these days, Mike Emery and the team at Perfection Auto Works can take care of all of your automotive needs. The convenient Midtown location, one block south of Speedway on North Beverly, 323-8650, perfectionautoworks.com. Mike is offering a free 26-point inspection of your car. Mike Shaw and 4 Tucson at 4, produced by Ray Allen, coming up at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Wake Up Tucson, 6 till 8, and then the Daily Double, Christy Simone from 8 to 9. And then I'll be back. Bill Buckmaster, Tom Fairbanks will be with me engineering the show tomorrow, and we hope to see you then, 12:04. Till then, have a great afternoon.